And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about feasting on the fruits of promise. Feasting on the fruits of promise. Amen. The Lord bless you and may be seated. The long and arduous trek through the wilderness of sin was finally complete. 40 long years of pursuing a promise became in one day a joyous reality. God, with a miraculous intervention, made a way that Israel could enter in to the land of promise. They entered in a way that only God could do. You know, sometimes we get locked into situations and we know we have promises, but we get weary and it seems like the promise is never going to come. And day passes after day, and things just seem to be always the same. Amen. But I'm telling you, there comes a day that in one moment and in one day, everything can change. Everything can change. I've talked to people that say, I don't believe that people can change like that. Well, I'm here to tell you they can. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And I know how it happens because it happened to me. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it happens in a moment. And life is literally transformed. Amen. Wow, it had been a long journey. These people couldn't even remember Egypt. It had been a long journey. You remember what happened? The people that the Lord brought out of Israel, and He brought them to the border, and He was ready to send them in to the promised land. And when they got there and they heard that there were some difficulties and some challenges facing them, they began to murmur and complain, and they doubted God, and they wanted to stone their leadership, and they began to make accusations against God. And the Lord said, tell you what, He said, I'm still going to keep my promise, but you're not going to see it. And so they wandered for 40 years until all of the doubters were dead. And when all of the doubters had passed off the scene, it was a brand new crop of Israelites. Amen. Hallelujah. And God said, let's try it again. Amen. Just because you don't want to do what God wants you to do, He'll just find somebody else that will do it. Amen. And it has to, if it takes a while and he has to raise up another generation, he'll just do it. God is not on our timetable. He works in his own time. So 40 years passed, they all died, a new generation comes to that Jordan where Israel had been before. And now as they stand there, it's time to go into the land. Amen. There's still an obstacle. There's a raging river that is overflowing its banks between them and the promised land. How are we going to get over there, God? Well, you just leave that up to him. If he brings you to it, he'll take you through it. And so they come to the edge of the river. And the Lord says, let the priest bear the ark and walk into the water. And when their feet touch the water, the waters begin to pile up like a mighty mountain. And they walked out and stood in the middle. And the thousands and the millions of Israel begin to cross over to the other side into the promised land. I don't know how that would have felt, friend. I guess I kind of do. Amen. But can you imagine? They've been trying to get there for 40 years of time. And when their feet finally planted on promised land, it was shouting ground. Amen. It was shouting time. It was dancing time. It was worship time. It was praise time. God brought them across into a brand new land. And in a moment, everybody, you talk about excitement. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why songs like that song they were singing just a minute ago, if you can remember what it was like before, hallelujah, and then you remember what it's like after, praise God. You remember what it was like before the Holy Ghost, and you know what it's like after the Holy Ghost. It gets something stirring on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it does. Amen. Tough crowd, but it does. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Not only was Israel watching and involved and excited, but there were some other people watching. The Bible said the enemies, the Amorites of the west and the Canaanites by the sea, they were watching. They had spies. And when they watched Israel step into that water, and they watched that wall begin to mount, watched the waters begin to climb on waters until it stood like a mighty mountain, they looked at that and they said, we've been to church meetings and six county fairs. We've never seen anything like this. Amen. And they said, oh, the God of Israel, he's nobody to mess with. Amen. There's no God like this God. Wow. Look at that. And the enemies backed off and said, uh-uh. We're not touching these folks. Amen. We got a whole bunch of gods in our country, but we hadn't got anybody that can do that right there. And nobody's ever done anything like that. Nobody can cause a wall of water like that and just breathe and the ground becomes dry. My, what a God Israel served. Amen. God brought them into the promised land. And then God said, I want you to do one more thing. And I want you to get 12 rocks out of the bottom of this dry river bed. Amen. I'm sure some of them kind of had their eye on the wall of water there. Hope that thing holds. Amen. But if God's holding it, it'll hold. Amen. It'll stay until he says it's time for it to go. And they got the river rocks out and they took them out and they stacked them one on top of the other. And they said, what's this all about? And the Lord said, one of these days, he said, there are going to come some people by here and they're going to say, what's that pile of rocks mean? And when they say that, I want you to remember what happened. Amen. Let me tell you something. We need to have some memorials in our lives. We need to have some testimonies that we can tell somebody what the Lord has done for me. Amen. Pray. I'm glad today this is not just a told-you-so salvation, but this is a know-so salvation. Amen. I'm not living what somebody told me. I'm living what I have experienced. And I know that God's a healer because the Lord has healed me. I know that God forgives sin because God forgave me. I know that God can deliver because the Lord has delivered me. I know God gives peace in the time of trouble because God has given me peace in the most difficult hours of my life. I know that God can provide when you have a need because I have been in situations where only God could supply and He always came through. I know what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about an experience here. This is not out of a storybook. This is out of the life. Someone that's experienced it. Amen. So you want to talk about God being dead and revival being over and amen and Christianity just passing off of the scene? You ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. Okay, God's gearing up for the end time. Amen. And there's going to be a greater revival than the world has ever seen. God's rolling up His sleeve and He's getting ready to go back to battle again. And the world's never seen anything like it when sees when God flexes His muscles and decides He's going to show Himself mighty one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad today I've got some memorials in my life. But you know what I'm happy about? I'm glad that I don't just have memorials, but I'm glad that my daughter has memorials. She's not living on daddy's faith or mama's faith, but she's living on her faith. Amen. She knows what it's like to pray and see God come through. Amen. Hey, we can't let this die with one generation. We got to pass this on. The greatest thing you can give your child is a faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Do everything you can to help them. But the greatest help you can give them is to live this testimony. Amen. Jesus Christ in front of them, a life of consecration and dedication and holiness so they can know the Lord like you know Him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Israel, they come across. They're walking around, Brother Bacon, and wonder. We're here. Hallelujah. Wow. We're here. Amen. We made it. This is amazing. Everything's new. Hallelujah. See this ground? This is holy ground. This is promised land. This is our ground. We were slaves in Egypt for 430 years, but this is our land. Amen. This doesn't belong to some Egyptian taskmaster. Amen. When I plant my crop this year and it grows up next year, I'm going to be eating the fruit of my hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? They didn't have to wait till next year. God said when you get there, there's already going to be some fruit in the land. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So they cross over. They're living in that splendid stupor. Amen. Almost unbelief that we're here. Have you ever had something you were so excited about and when it finally happened it was like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. It happened. I'm here. Amen. They were there. But the Lord's not through. Amen. So the Lord speaks again in the second verse. And at that time, they're in the promised land. They crossed the river. They're home. And the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel. Second time. Amen. He said, now there's something that has been neglected that needs to be corrected. Sometimes people forget things, but God doesn't forget. Sometimes people let things slide. God's not letting it slide. He said, I made a promise, and I made a covenant with Abraham nearly 500 years ago. And Abraham and I, we made an agreement. I said that I would bless him with children like the sand of the sea. And that's you. And we made a covenant between us. And when there's a covenant, there's a signing of the covenant. There's a seal to the covenant. When God made a covenant with Noah, he put a rainbow in the clouds. And he said, when you see it getting ready to rain, understand I'll never destroy the world with a flood again like we did before. But I'm going to put a rainbow in the cloud because I'm making an agreement with you. And then with Abraham, God said, I'm going to give you a sign. He said, every male child that's born, you're going to circumcise that boy. And that circumcision is going to be the seal of the covenant between you and I. Well, you know what happened? For 40 years, they neglected that. For 40 years, those that knew what Abraham said and knew what had been, and they were circumcised. But they forgot to pass it on to their children. Amen. Again, folks, it's important. If it's good for me, it's good for my child. Hallelujah. I've heard people make the silly statement, I don't want to force religion on my child. I do. Amen. Praise God. By the same token, don't send them to school. Don't teach them anything. Let them just grow up and make all their decisions. Don't teach them English. They might want to speak you Bangi. How dare you interfere with their development like that? Amen. Don't teach them right and wrong. Just let them grow up like little heathens. Amen. Don't tell them what's right and wrong. You'll be pushing judgment on them. How dare you? Amen. But you know what? When I find something good, I'm going to share it with anybody that'll listen. I'm going to tell you tonight, I can't repent of their sins. I can't be baptized for them. I can't give them the Holy Ghost. But I can give them every opportunity to receive it. I can tell them, I can show them, I can live it before them, I can demonstrate God in my life, and they can see His glory. But they were born to a bunch of doubters and a bunch of losers. Amen. And so they failed to circumcise the boys. And God didn't forget. And God didn't let it pass over. He said, you're here. I've kept my end of the bargain. Now you keep yours. Amen. Praise God. God gave us a covenant, didn't He? We call it the New Testament. The new will of God. The new covenant God has made with us. And just like He had a seal with Abraham, and He had a seal with Noah, and He had a seal of the covenant with Moses. God has a seal with us tonight. And what is the seal of the New Testament? Amen. I'll tell you what it is. It's new birth. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's death, and it's burial, and it's resurrection. Hallelujah. It's death to the old life. Amen. It's burying the old man in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And then it's rising to walk in newness of life, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the new covenant. I like the new covenant. Woo! Amen. I recommend the new covenant. I wish everybody in the world had the new covenant, because it's glorious. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, not only after the crossing of the Jordan, but after the circumcising of the sons, then God said, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of thee. Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. Praise God. He said, no more bondage. About to say, no more bondage. No more bondage. No more stinking thinking. No more thinking like a slave. No more being bound. Amen. No more taking orders from somebody. Amen. But God. Amen. Now, I'm in a free land. I'm in a promised land. Hallelujah. Old things had passed away, and they're in a brand new place. The Bible said they lived in houses they did not build. They drank from wells they did not dig. They ate from vines they did not plant. They reaped crops, amen, and harvested crops that they didn't have to toil and sow and cultivate. Amen. They got there just at the right time, and it was time to eat the fruits from the promised land. Amen. Now, I got to thinking about this. I don't know. I know this. I know that this generation had been eating manna their whole life. That's all they knew. Manna. Praise God. And I'm sure manna's good. I never had any. You know what the word manna means? It means, what is it? Brother Bacon, it's just like you were saying a minute ago. You can't explain it, can you? You get in the presence of the Lord and you want to explain it, and all you can say is, what is it? you're like Isaiah when he began to write, and his name shall be called what is it? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. They knew about manna. Praise God. But man, they got a taste of corn. You like corn? I know that sounds corny, and it is. I don't know if they got a big old ear and boiled it and slapped some butter on there, put a little salt on it. Amen. Begin to chow down. Woo! That's good. Never tasted anything like that. And all my put-togethers. That's good stuff. Amen. Some barley. Made some barley bread. I don't know of anything in this world that tastes better than fresh baked bread. Amen. We went Saturday over to the Tony's there in Gun Barrel, and I'm telling you, those rolls, they're dangerous. They're so good. Amen. Fresh baked bread. Amen. Right out of an oven that somebody else built. Oh, man, that was good. Hot, and slathered some butter on there. And I'm making you hungry. Going to stay for chicken spaghetti right after we get through. Amen. Garlic toast, good stuff. Amen. They're eating rolls and eating bread and eating the corn and eating the watermelons and the cantaloupes. And you know what their mom and daddy was all upset about? Because they said, we don't have any onions out here. Well, they had onions now. We don't have any leeks out here. They had them now. They don't have any melons out here. You got them now. They don't have any cucumbers out here. You got them now. Grow them like you like them. Big, little, in between. Amen. Because you're in the promised land now. Amen. And you can plant what you want. And you can have what you desire. And you can plant to your heart's content because you are in the promised land. Amen. Praise God brought them to that place. And now they're eating for the first time in their life food and fruits in the promised land. That was so exciting. That had never been. Had never been. Praise God. And the Bible says one of the things they did was they said, let's observe the first Passover in the promised land. They had observed Passovers before in their wilderness journey. If you remember, the first Passover, they were still slaves in Egypt. But the Lord told them, He said, you get a little lamb in every house, and you get him in the house. He said, and I want you to close the door. I want you to kill that lamb and drain his blood in a basin. I want you to get a hyssop brush, and I want you to go over to the door, and I want you to put the blood on the right hand and on the left hand and above the door. He said, and I want you to roast the lamb, and I want you to eat all of it that you can eat. He said, but you get your coat on, and get the shoes on your feet, and have your suitcase packed, because you're getting ready to get out of here. You've been here 430 years. You're a bunch of slaves. You don't have anything. Amen. But when you leave here, anything worth having is going with you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You don't need to get too heavily invested in this world, because when we leave here, the only thing worth leaving is what we're taking with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Oh, what about my house? It's going to burn. What about my cars? It's going to burn. Amen. What about my bank account? It's going to burn if it lasts that long. You know what your bank account is? It's an electronic transfer. It's a bunch of numbers on a machine. That's what it is. Amen. So don't get too wrapped up in this old world, folks, because we're getting ready to leave here. Amen. So the Lord sent the death angel, passed over the houses where the blood was applied. Hallelujah. Israel came out of there. That just had to be the most amazing thing. Working and been a slave in somebody's house your whole life. And they said, you've been admiring this gold and silver over here. I think I'll just give that to you. Now, what in the world would make them do that? God? Amen. God? Can God do something like that? He did. And if He did it once, He can do it again. Amen. You know why they needed gold and silver? Because God said, I want you to build me a tabernacle. And those are the materials that you're going to need to build it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know how generous God is? God said, I just want 10% and you can keep 90. You can't beat a deal like that. He's God. He could ask for 90 and gave you 10. Some people would still complain. My, what a generous God. He said, you get to keep 90%. All you got to give me is 10. What a deal. Amen. So they walked out of the promised land, man, and the first Passover. And then for 40 years, they celebrated Passover in the wilderness. Amen. But this time, woo, hallelujah. When they celebrated Passover, it was for the very first time in the land of promise. It took on a brand new meaning. Amen. God got us out of there, and He brought us into here. Amen. God never intended for it to take 40 years. It would have been a matter of a few weeks. But because of Israel's disobedience, it took a lot longer. Amen. So He brought them into the promised land. They're eating. special food. And they're having the time of their lives. And then the Bible says, and the manna ceased. Can you imagine that? Every morning of their lives, they would get up and they would get their little vessel and they'd go up and they'd pick manna off the ground. They got up that morning and they got their little bucket and there was no manna on the ground. God said, "That's over. Now you're eating the fruits of the promised land." Amen. That was a temporary provision. Amen. Now, you can have what you want. And you can eat to your fill. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you today, everything before was a temporary measure to get us here. The fruit of the promised land that you and I are enjoying today is not the same fruit that they ate. I mean, I like watermelon and a lot of stuff. You know, some stuff I could do without. Amen. I'm not real sure God intended for people to eat liver. You know, some things I'm just not sure about. But pretty much everything, I like all kinds of vegetables. Amen. Even broccoli and cauliflower. I've learned to eat that stuff. Amen. And I've just about everything I enjoy. But the fruit that I'm talking about tonight is the same fruit that we find in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. I'm going to tell you the fruit of the promise here today. Amen. This is fruit for Christians right here. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That sound good to anybody? Amen. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Meekness. Temperance. Amen. Faith. Hallelujah. He said, that's good fruit right there. Amen. You know, I don't like to be patient, but I sure like other people to be patient with me. Shake your head like this right here. Mm-hmm. You got my number. But if I want other people to be patient with me, I've got to be patient with them. Hallelujah. If I want other people to love me, I've got to love them. Amen. Now here's the beautiful thing. You can't grow this fruit. I said you can't grow this fruit. I don't care how fertile the ground is. You can't grow it. This is fruit of the Spirit. Only the Holy Ghost can grow this fruit. But if you've got a fertile field in your own heart, and God plants the Holy Ghost in there, and you let it grow to fruition, you'll be full of the fruit of the Spirit. I've heard people say, don't judge me. Well, you're right. The Bible said, judge not that you be not judged. Amen. But it also says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen. I don't have to be a judge. All I got to do is just see what kind of fruit you're growing. Amen. And if you're grouchy and ornery and vindictive and violent and mean-spirited and a gossip and a cheat and a liar and a thief and all of that, hey, you got the wrong kind of fruit to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? And everybody said, amen, hallelujah, praise God. But you're looking for a Christian, you find somebody that's got love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and kindness and kindness and temperance. Amen. You find somebody like that, that's the kind of fruit that grows in a Christian's life. And I don't know about you, but I like living that way. I do. I like living in peace. How about you? You like living in peace? I don't like agitation and trouble. I don't like stirring stuff up. I got this terrible image in my head. I'd make a great illustration, but I better not go there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I like peace. I love joy. Amen. You know, joy is different than happiness. I meet people, they have push-button happiness. Amen. If the right thing pushes their button, they're happy. But if the wrong thing pushes their button, they come undone. And it don't take but a minute to change. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They live on a roller coaster. But joy is not like that. You know what? I've had joy bubbling up when I wondered, why am I insane? Why should I be singing at a time like this? Why in the world I should be worrying myself sick? But instead I got this song. Amen. It's coming on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I can't keep it down. I just feel like singing. It's the joy of the Lord. And that's the fruit of the promised land. Amen. Thank God for the fruit of the promise. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time and your attention. Amen. It's a brand new life. One songwriter said, it's a good life living for the Lord. It's a good life living for the Lord. Amen. I've lived two lives in my lifetime. I lived B.C. Amen. And I'm living W.C. Amen. I lived before I had Christ in my life. And now I have Christ in my life. I'm living with Christ. Amen. So I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be on that side. And I know what it's like to be on this side. And I like this side a whole lot better. I like it enough that once I found it over 40 years ago, I've just stuck with it. I've had plenty of opportunities to get off track and go back and do whatever it was I was doing before. Amen. As a matter of fact, the devil tells me every day, about all day long, all you got to do is just go back. Nothing to go back to. Amen. I've had that stuff over there. Amen. I like this fruit right here. I like the fruit of the Spirit. I like the Holy Ghost. I like the love that I feel. I like the joy that I feel. I like the peace that I have. Amen. I like the faith in my life. I enjoy living this way. Amen. And if that's not enough, all I got to do is look around me. Bless their hearts. I know people, they got to get a pill to get going, and they got a pill to slow down, and they got a pill to stop, and they got a pill to chill. They got a pill to pick them up, and a pill to take them down. Amen. They got a pill for everything. Living life by pills. Amen. And no, that's not for me. That's not for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody enjoy the fruit of the promise tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with a rapture I survey its wondrous beauties grand. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I found the land of promise. I'm camping
I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. And with a rapture I survey in wondrous beauty is grand. Glory, hallelujah, I found the land of promise. I'm camping in Canaan's happy land. Oh, I have left the land of bondage with its earthly treasure. And I've journeyed to a place where there is love on every hand.